Say to those who are fearful hearted, do not be afraid. The Lord your God is strong with his mighty arms when you call out his name. He will come and save. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Say to the weary one, your God will surely come. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Lift up your eyes to him. You will arise again. He will come and to those who are broken hearted, do not lose your faith. The Lord your God is strong with his loving arms when you call on his name. He will come and save. He will come. Trouble. He is our shelter in the time of storm. He is our tower in the day of sorrow, our fortress in the time of war.
Open your Bibles with me this morning to the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 25, we'll be reading verses 19 through 26 in just a moment. As we continue with this sermon series in the second two-thirds of the book of Genesis, we come to the point today where we're talking about the next generation. We've been talking about Abraham and his faith and his growth process and God working with him and his life. And now we come to his son, Isaac, and his wife, Rebekah. As we see the generations roll through here, we see the activity of God. And really, today in this morning's message, it is more important, as in all the messages, that we look at God and his activity than we do the characters and their activity. Because it is the activity of God that really matters. It is the activity of God that is universal, that goes beyond the event. What Isaac and Rebekah do in the passage we're going to read is one thing that does not really translate very much into today. But what God does in this passage with Isaac and Rebekah and the birth of their two sons is what his activity does translate into today. Because you see, Isaac and Rebekah and their two sons historically are long gone. And they're interesting characters to study, but they are long since gone. But the God who worked with them is still here, and he is still active. And he is the same God who was with them, is the same God who was with us today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have to understand that. What we see God do in this passage is we see him respond to his people. Both Isaac and Rebekah make separate but related requests of God, and we see God's response. And we understand that to this very day, we still have a responsive God. We have a God who is interested, and a God who is invested, and a God who responds to his people. And as believers in Christ, that would be us. We are his people. And he knows you. And he is invested in your life. And he is invested in your future. And he is a God who responds. Let's read about this together now as we read Genesis 25, 19 through 26. These are the family records of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Abraham fathered Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took as his wife Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramean from Padan-Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord heard his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. But the children inside her struggled with each other, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people will come from you and be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." And when her time came to give birth, there were indeed twins in her womb. The first one came out looking red-looking, covered with hair like a fur coat, and they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out, grasping Esau's heel with his hand, and so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when they were born. So here is this initial statement of the birth of Jacob and Esau. But as before they are born, we see God interacting with their parents, and we see the response of God. The first thing that I want us to really consider is that we do have a responsive God. So many times people get to thinking as we're going through the day in, day out activities of life, that God is far off, that God, yes, put things in place, and he threw the stars in the sky and spun the earth on its axis. He gave us a written word to give us some guidelines. But beyond that, he is not too involved with me. But that could not be a more inaccurate concept of our God. He is an active God. Look at verse 21. And Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. And the Lord heard his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. Now, at this point in their lives, they had been married about 20 years. They were 20 years into their marriage, and by their standards, that really wasn't very long, but yet she was still childless. And Isaac knew the promise. He was a child of promise himself. He had been born to his father when his father was 100 years old and his mother was 90. So now he and Rebekah, from their perspective, are spring chickens. But this is their perspective. But yet 20 years into the marriage, the second generation of promise has not yet been born. And so he goes to God. You know, he doesn't go around and try to figure things out. He goes to the source. He goes to the same place his father went to. And Isaac understood that he himself was the son fulfilling a promise God had made to his father, and that he also would have son or sons to further out and complete the promises that God had made to Abraham. So what does he do? He goes to God. Perfectly logical. It's a reasonable thing. It's the kind of thing that a man of faith would do. It's the kind of thing that a man, when as a boy, his father had so much faith, he took him to a mountain and he was going to be the object of sacrifice. But God stayed the hand of his dad, and now he is a man. His father has passed away. He is the head of the household. He is no longer the child of promise, but now he is the man of the fulfillment of promise. And it is his son or sons who are going to be the ongoing fulfillment of the promise. God had promised this. And so he goes to him and he says, okay, God, it's time. I know compared to dad, I'm still young. I'm only about 60. But it's time for this to be fulfilled. My wife, Rebecca, whom he loved dearly, she is not yet conceived. We're 20 years into our marriage. God, I'm asking you to intervene. And God responded. And what I want us to understand is God pays attention. It was true for him then. It is true for us now. This wasn't just an event in early Jewish history, although it was an event in Jewish history. It wasn't outside the character of God. And that part of God's character we still see unfold. We see it through the New Testament. We see it through the New Testament era. We see that our God is active. He cares. He invests. And so often we feel like such a minute part of his existence, such a minute part of his kingdom, that we know that God responds. We know that he is active. He's just not active to me. I'm just too small of a piece of the puzzle. I'm just too small of a cog in the machine. He doesn't really pay too much attention to me because I'm just not that important. Well, if you weren't that important, his son wouldn't have gone to a cross for you. If you weren't that important, the power of God would not have gone into a tomb and raised Jesus from the dead for you. These are personal things that, yes, God does universally for all who will believe, but it becomes very personal when we become people of faith. When we exercise that faith that God has placed within us, we receive him as our Savior, we begin our journey with him, we become his child. He adopts us. We are co-heirs with Christ. The New Testament is absolutely clear about that, and he cares. He cares about his kids. He cares about the promises he made to them. And our God responds. Well, I don't feel like he's responding. Well, it took 20 years for this response to happen. It took longer for God to fulfill his promises to the parents of Isaac, but God responded. He always will, and he always has, and he will continue to do so. You are valuable to God. You are valuable to his kingdom. He knows who you are. He knows the details of your life, which is both good and sometimes not so good for us. That's actually always good for us. It just makes us fearful sometimes. But the reality is our God cares, and he is active, and he responds when we pray to him. How many times have you been in a situation, had a friend, a relative, someone who goes through a crisis in life, and you go to them and you say, I wish I could do more, but all I can do is pray. And we feel like that's so small. Don't you realize, and we're all guilty of this, but don't you realize we must understand the power of prayer? And it's not because our prayers are powerful, but it's because the one to whom we are praying is powerful. He has all the power. He has all the authority. He has all the grace. He has all the mercy. He has all the wisdom. And he invests in us. It's important that you pray. Here we see a man who prayed for his wife, and we see God respond. God responds. Also, when God responds to us, we find that he will comfort his people. Now, we go a little bit further into the story, down to verse 23, and Rebecca prays. Now, God has honored Isaac's prayer, and she is conceived. She is now pregnant. She is going along through her pregnancy, and it's not an easy pregnancy. When you read the story, it looks like the two little guys that were growing within her womb were pugilistic in their endeavors, and they were duking it out in there. And all these things were going. They were competing before their birth with one another, which they would do really throughout the rest of their lives. And she's having a tough time. This is also her first pregnancy. So she goes to God and she inquires, what is happening to me? I think that is a common question amongst pregnant women. What is going on with me? And this is what God says. And God said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people will come from you and be separated. He goes on, and we'll talk about the rest of the verse in just a minute. But here we see God speaks to her. She inquires of God, and asks Him, what in the world is going on? Now, I am going to be the first to admit, ladies, I am not an expert on pregnancy. I really don't know and don't want to know too terribly much about it. But I can tell you that there is no segment of society, no segment of humanity that I have more respect for, more compassion for, and more fear of than pregnant women. Walked through three pregnancies with my wife. I have been around pregnant women in the church. Now, you can see the little number of rascals we've got here. A number of them have been born as a part of families, a part of this church congregation. And I have seen that, and I've been around that. But I'm not an expert. Ladies, I do not know how you feel. I am not going to make that statement. I've observed it a lot, but I know that this question that she asked, what in the world is happening to me, is a question that is pretty much universal during pregnancy, especially the first pregnancy. You add to that she is having twin boys who don't like each other from the very beginning of time. And she's just having a tough pregnancy. But God goes to her. You notice God's response to her. And we find this. What God does with Rebecca here is He comforts her. He goes to her and spiritually He puts His arm around her. And He says, honey, I know you're having a tough time. I know this is hard on you. And I know you're confused and you don't understand what's happening with you. He said, but I want you to know that things are going to be okay. I'm in control of what's happening. You have two nations within you. Understand, yes, this is going to be hard, and it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be painful, but it's going to be okay, because I am in control, and great and wonderful things are in the future. Now, I really don't know how comforting it is to a woman in the midst of a difficult pregnancy for someone to say, well, of course, this is God with authority saying, it's not just, you know, somebody saying this, this is someone with authority saying this, is saying, it's going to be okay. There's a plan out there, and it's going to be really, really good in the future. I'm not sure how much that comforts you ladies, but God was comforting her, and He was caring for her. I have absolutely no doubt that prior to this conversation with God, she had asked her husband exactly the same thing. Why? What is going on with me? What is happening with me? And Isaac seems to be a very even-tempered, very caring, compassionate man when you study his character. And I'm sure he did his best, but I'm sure it didn't do a bit of good. She found no comfort in what her husband told her. But when she spoke to the Heavenly Father, God took time to come to her and to speak to her and say, I'm in control of this. It's going to be okay. It's going to be great and wonderful things. Two nations are within you. I'm going to bless these children of yours. One thing, he explained to her, she was going to have twins, and they had no way of knowing that in this day and time. They didn't know this was going to be a multiple birth. They found that out on the birthday. That's the way it was done until very modern times. And this was the situation. But God comforts her. And we see that God comforts us. Whenever we go through times of difficulty and trial, we ask questions not unlike what Rebecca inquired of God. What in the world is going on with me? What is going on in my life? What is going on in my struggle? Why is this happening to me? Why did I get this report from the doctor? Why you know, did why is my family going through the struggle professionally? Why did I get the pink slip at work? I mean, all of these questions come up when we go through times of difficulty and trial and we inquire, why is this happening? And everybody who is kind-hearted and everybody wants to be helpful and we all have our ideas, but there's really only one place we're going to find true comfort. It's when we go to the God of the universe who sees, who knew us before this happened, who knows us while we're in the trial, and he knows us after the trial. It's for him to put his arms around us and give us comfort. Our God comforts us. Now, he doesn't always make the pain go away. He did not come to Rebecca and say, I tell you what, I'm going to, you know, hit you with my magic wand and you're going to have, you know, an easy pregnancy from here on out. Didn't do that. But he said, it's going to be okay because I love you. And that's something we can be assured of, that we have a God who loves us. Yeah, we go through trials. Yes, we lose loved ones. Yes, we have difficulties with families. Yes, we have professional issues. All of these things happen in our lives, and God does not make them go away necessarily. He could, and sometimes he does, but sometimes he does not. But he never forsakes us. He never leaves us alone. Why? Because he's a God who comforts. He's a God who cares. He's a God who will weep with us and carry us through, because he knows suffering. He knows human pain. He knows discouragement. He knew exactly what was going on in Rebecca's life. He knows exactly what's going on in your life today. And he knows what he has on the other side. And there is our comfort. God will comfort you, because that is what he does. Why? Because he has a plan. He has a purpose in everything that comes into our lives. Verse 23, two nations are in your womb. Two people will come from you and be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. God says, I've got a plan. I have a purpose in what you're, that's going to result from your suffering now. I understand you're hurting, but I have a plan, and I have a plan for your children. I have a plan for your sons. They're going to be born here shortly, and when they're born, you're going to have two boys, an older boy and a younger boy, not by much, but a little bit. And in their culture, it made a big difference. But he says, but understand, I've got a different plan. I'm going to go against the cultural norm. The younger is going to be stronger than the older. It wasn't true physically, but it was true spiritually and historically. And the older will serve the younger. And she heard that. And we are going to see that that statement, I want you to remember that statement, because that statement is going to pop up later in the lives of these people. We're going to see more that are going to come as a result of God's plan here. And what we see happening is God reveals himself. God's not playing hide-and-go-seek with us. He is not hiding around from us. He's not behind the pillars of our life, the pillars of our struggles. Our God is with us, and he reveals himself to us, and he has a plan. Now, sometimes he reveals the plan ahead to us. Sometimes he does not. He did not have to tell her what his plan was, but in his sovereignty, he chose to comfort her with the plan that he had for her sons. But understand, whether you know what God's plan for you, your future is, or whether you do not know, it really matters little, because God knows. And God has a plan. And God's plans are higher than our plans. And God's ways are higher than our ways. Why? Because he's God and we are not. That's a brilliant theological statement you can write down. He has greater insight. He has tremendous sovereignty. He has grace. He has mercy. He has kindness. He loves you. But why does God love me? I have no idea. He loves the lovable. He loves the unlovable. He loves us just because he loves us. And he puts his arms around us and he cares. And that is how God responds to us. God always responds to us in a loving manner. It's not always easy. It is not always pleasant. It is rarely what we would choose. But it is always the very best. And that is where our faith comes in. That is why we live by faith, not by sight. That is why we can sing songs like, "It is well with my soul." And no matter what the situation of life is, it can be well with our soul, not because we are good, but because He is good. And He loves us, and we can trust in that. And we will find the comfort that God offers us in direct proportion to how much faith we have in Him. Do I really believe God? Do I really believe He cares? Do I really know that He loves me? But He loves you whether you know it or not. He loves you whether you feel it or not. But our faith and our courage and our strength comes from this. God responded to two people in this short passage that we read. One was a husband who prayed for his family and prayed that God would give him a child with his wife. And God did that. In fact, God doubled up on him. And then we see the wife in the midst of that trauma that we call pregnancy, a difficult pregnancy. And God comes to her and He says, "I have got glorious things planned for your children." God would say a similar thing to us. Now, specifically these things, no, I don't imagine. Maybe there are great nations going to be born from this congregation. I don't know. But I do know that God has great things. He has great and glorious things for us and for the generations to come. Now, the question is, how are we going to relate to God's activity? How are we going to relate to God? Because He's going to respond to us. He's going to respond to you in your prayers. He's going to respond to you in your situation in life. How are we going to receive His response? Isaac and Rebekah in this passage received it well, and it made a difference in their life and in their happiness and in their joy. How will you receive the joy that God offers you?